aspects of the work of the cross that we can't possibly grasp them all at the same time. So we get to experience pieces of them throughout our lifetime. And sometimes all that we can say is thank you. So God, we bring that to you this morning. We're so thankful for the cross, and not only for the cross, but for the resurrection, because without the resurrection, the cross is meaningless. So God, we celebrate that today. We thank you for your plan and for your work. And may we continue to honor you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated.
Wow, don't you wish you could, we could just continue to worship together and sing together of God's goodness? Thank you, worship team, and thanks to all our kids this morning. Can we give them another kind of round of applause? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We need to continue to find ways, meaningful ways, to disciple our children, our younger people, our teenagers, to give them spaces and places to serve and to grow together with the rest of us who are a little bit older. And so I want to say thank you, kids. You did a great job, and we want to continue to walk with you and walk alongside you to love you like Jesus loves you. And so we're glad that you're with us this morning, for many of you, and hope that that you are coming with ears to hear what God has to say to us. And it's Easter Sunday, perhaps the best weekend in the whole wide world, in the whole year. The power of the cross and the power of the resurrected Christ, who makes it all possible for us to have true life. And there's these two parts to this story. The first part is the story of the cross, where the story tells us, reminds us that because of what Jesus did, we can be forgiven, we can be released from our sins. And so if you were here on Good Friday, we had a Good Friday service, and we talked about Jesus being our ransom, the one who makes the payment for us, the one who loosens us from the chains of bondage and slavery, which we call sin, and he releases us from that, becoming our payment on the cross. We need Friday. We need the cross. But we also need Sunday. We couldn't do without Sunday, the resurrection, the power of the resurrection through Jesus Christ. So we need both parts of the story. We can't be set free from sin and death without Jesus' death on the cross, and we can't be made new. We can't be made to new life without the resurrection. But because Jesus rose from the dead, and the scriptures speak to this about eyewitnesses and many who saw him after he had risen from the dead, because Jesus rose from the dead, we have new life, we have new power, we have victory, we have new opportunities, and we have second chances. How many of us like second chances? How many of us like third chances? Maybe even fourth or more chances. Oh, we love second chances. I enjoy hockey. I don't play it, but I enjoy watching it. And so I've been catching little bits and pieces of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And wow, this last week and a half has been quite interesting. I wish, or I believe, that the Pittsburgh Penguins had another chance at the New York Islanders, and I bet they wish they did too. I bet that Calgary Flames, are there any Flames fans here today? Okay, all right. I bet the Calgary Flames would love another shot at the Colorado Avalanche. Last night, I saw just a little snippet of my hometown, the Winnipeg Jets. They too, one of the best teams, bowed out. Couldn't win one game at home. They're wishing they had another chance at the St. Louis Blues. But even more than those three, there's been one team that's already been golfing for a few days. The best team in the NHL by far this last year, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They won so many games, they broke so many records, they were so far ahead that you couldn't even see them, swept away in four games. From first to worst to the golf course, all in a matter of a couple of days. Are they going to get another chance? Yeah. They're going to have to wait a while. It's going to be a long summer, but they'll get their next chance. You know, when things don't go our way, or when we mess up in life, we often wish that we could turn back time and get another chance. Is that not true? When I was 12, I made a decision that I wish I could get back. It was a dumb decision, and I was 12, and those two things seemed to go together. My family was out one evening shopping in a local mall in Winnipeg, and I had wandered off on my own, and I had started meandering the aisles at Shoppers Drug Mart. I was in grade 6 at the time, and I was into fountain ink pens. Some of you remember those. It was a bit of a fad at the time with some of my friends, and my cartridge refills had dried up, and I needed some refills. And so as I was meandering the aisles of Shoppers Drug Mart, I was thinking, oh, I really need some, but I didn't have any money. And I started thinking about how do I get refills if I don't have any money? And suddenly the temptation to take that which was not mine came to mind. And then I started to justify my temptation. Well, fountain cartridge pens aren't very big, and they don't really cost very much. I don't even think it was a dollar for the little box. So I started looking nervously around the aisle, wondering if anyone else was nearby. And within a couple of moments, I knew what I was about to do was wrong. But I chose to bend to my temptation, and I chose to do it anyways, and I grabbed a pack of fountain ink cartridges off the shelf. I jammed them inside my winter parka where I thought I could hide them, and I turned around and I just booked it out of that store to get out of there as fast as I could. My parents, who were waiting for me in the mall just across the way and had agreed to meet us all at a certain time, we're sitting in the chairs across from Shoppers Drug Mart. And I thought that I was home free, but I only made it several steps out of that store when a large hand came on my shoulder and stopped me and said, "Excuse me, please stop." And I turned around and I looked up and I saw this tall man looking down at me with his hand on my shoulder. He was wearing a dark blue shirt and he was wearing dark blue pants with a yellow stripe down the side. And I kid you not, he wasn't a mall cop on a Segway. He was the real deal. And my parents, who were sitting just across the way, seeing this unfold, witnessed their 12-year-old son get arrested for shoplifting, and it wasn't a good feeling. I was led back into the store. I was brought into a back room where I was questioned and searched for stolen goods. Once the cop was satisfied he had found everything, together with the store manager, they then informed me that I would be placed in the Winnipeg Police Registry, where my name would remain until I turned 18, and I was forbidden to enter a Shoppers Drug Mart until my 18th birthday. And I remember sitting in that dimly lit back office of Shoppers Drug Mart thinking like I was a total failure. Like an absolute dork. A failure to God, a failure to my parents. And that evening, I wanted another chance. I wanted a do-over. If I could have turned back the clock and done it again, I would have done something very differently. This morning, we're celebrating Easter Sunday, the power of the resurrected Christ. And I don't know all of the stories, I don't know all of the backdrops, I don't know all the experiences that each one of you comes with, because our church family and our faith community is too large to know all of those things. But you could be here this morning and you could be sharing an experience like I just shared. Feelings of failure, discouragement, despair, wishing that if you could do something over again, you would. Another chance to fill in the blank. Another chance to right a wrong or correct a past mistake. Another chance to restore a relationship with another, or to restart a relationship with another. A chance to redo a marriage. If you've experienced a failed marriage, one that didn't work out. A chance to do over the parenting where you wonder if you did everything that was possible that you could do as you watch your children make decisions that you wish were different. You could be here spinning your tires in guilt, in shame, feelings of failure because of something that has happened in the past, or maybe that you are currently experiencing and you're uncertain how to move forward in life. This Easter Sunday, I have great news for you, whoever you are and whatever your story. I have great news. Through Jesus and because of Jesus, God gives another chance. He gives another chance, a second, a third, a fourth chance to do things over. And the resurrection of Jesus reminds us of this. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and it immediately follows the resurrection of Jesus. It's probably several days after the resurrection of Christ. And it's the story of Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, who experienced this very reality, who experienced another chance. Peter had every reason to feel discouraged, to feel despair, to feel like a failure, to feel like he had messed up. He had spent 3 years with Jesus. The two were very, very good friends. Peter was probably one of Jesus' closest friends. Jesus had invested a lot in Peter. He spoke words of encouragement into his life. He blessed Peter's life. He was always there for Peter when Peter needed him. Sometimes he spoke words of challenge or rebuke for the purpose of growing Peter. He was the kind of friend that you really want in your life. But when Jesus needed a friend in his darkest, bleakest hour, when government leaders and when religious rulers accused Jesus of things that he had not done, when they physically assaulted him, beating him, spitting on him, mocking him, Peter stood at a distance and he denied that he even knew Jesus. He did that not only once and not twice, but he did it three times. Three times when Peter was asked, "Do you know this man?" And Peter said, "Nope. I don't know him. Never heard of him. Haven't seen him." Can you imagine the feelings of betrayal that were felt both by Jesus and by Peter? See, Jesus was fully God and fully man. And if he was fully man, he would have had emotions, and he would have wondered what in the world was his good friend saying and doing in this moment. He would have felt these things. Peter, he was so ashamed of what he did immediately following his words that he ran away, and the Bible talks about him running away in deep sorrow, weeping and crying deeply. He regretted doing what he had just done as he watched Jesus, his friend, his teacher, his mentor, taken away, beaten, crucified. In that moment, Peter felt like a total failure. And I'm led to believe that Peter never believed that his life would ever be the same. I think Peter believed that he would forever be stuck living in shame, with guilt, feeling like he could have done something more and he didn't, feeling like he had just totally messed up so bad that his life could possibly not ever be the same. The story that we're looking at is in John chapter 21. If you have your Bibles or your iPhones or iPads, turn with me to John chapter 21 and let's spend just a couple of minutes on a few verses. In verse 1, this is how John, one of Jesus' other disciples, records it. Afterward, so after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which were James and John, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Here's Peter. He knows what he's done just several days prior. He hasn't gotten over it. He feels like a failure because of what he's done. He is ashamed. He is discouraged. He believes that the future he had envisioned is pretty dismal. So what does Peter do? Well, I think he goes back to the ways that he knew before Jesus called him. Goes back to the things that he did, which in many ways would be like you and me. We go back to the life that we once knew prior to when Jesus called us. Why? Because we feel bad. We feel like we're not worth it. We feel like what we've done possibly can't be forgiven or erased. So Peter says, "I'm going fishing. Anybody else want to come with me?" He makes his way out onto the beach. And along the beach, along the shorelines of the Sea of Galilee, are all kinds of boats. It was a fishing industry. Many people would have been fishermen. Peter had been one of them. And among all those boats, Peter doesn't grab just any boat. The Bible says that he grabs the boat. What's the boat? I think it's his boat. The boat that he had used many, many times before, years previous when he was a fisherman out in the water doing this for a living. And here he He finds it and he runs back to it. It probably has been sitting for a while. Maybe he hasn't used it in years. We don't know. But he finds the boat, his boat. And now he's preparing it to put it back in the water, to go back to the life that he once knew and probably was pretty good at, making money on the water in a fishing business. But he doesn't want to go alone. He actually asks if other people want to go with him. 7 of his other friends and disciples. What's the saying go? Misery likes company. When things go bad, sometimes we like bringing other people with us. I find it fascinating that the Bible actually notes 7 others are going to join him. And John, this friend of Jesus, this close disciple of Jesus, when he uses that number 7, it's actually referring to something very specific. It's usually referring to completeness. And so I wonder, I don't know for sure, but I wonder if this is Peter's way of saying, I've messed up. I've tried to follow Jesus, and I failed big time. I totally betrayed my best friend, so I quit completely. I'm done. You could be here this morning, and you could completely understand Peter's situation. You could be in a spot like this. You were moving forward in life. You thought you were doing well. You thought you were making good decisions. You thought you were following God. Maybe you even thought that you were following God very, very closely. And then something happened. A setback or a failure in your life emerged. You made a mess of a relationship. You did something that you totally regret, and if you could do it again, you would take it back and you would get a do-over. You're having difficulty thinking about getting your relationship with God back on track. So you can appreciate Peter's situation. You kind of get him. You might even be at the point where you go, yeah, I totally could jump back in the boat and I could bring others with me. Why in the world would God ever want to be my friend again? Why would he want to forgive me for what I've done? I can't possibly imagine that he would want to do that. I've been in that place. Sometimes it's because I've failed, and sometimes it's because I think that God has failed me somehow. And we can take ourselves to places in our heart and in our mind that fog our vision, where we don't see very clearly, where reality has become a little bit blurred, and sometimes we even like taking other people with us. And we fog their vision of reality as we fester in our human failures and mistakes. It's human nature. But you know what? Along comes Jesus in his resurrection power. He's risen from the grave, and he wants to give a fresh revelation of God's love to Peter. He wants to give Peter a picture to show him that nothing has changed of his love for him, even though Peter messed up. He wants to give Peter another chance. Verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. Do you see that? Peter and his friends can physically see. It's not that they're blind, but they can't see. Their vision is blurry. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answer. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So here's Peter. Here's his disciples. They can see, but they can't see. They can hear, but they don't recognize immediately that it's their best friend, Jesus, who has risen from the dead, who is standing on the beach waiting for them. And he's on this beach where he has been once before when he first called them to follow him. And here's Peter wanting to go back to what he had been doing before he met Jesus, because he's feeling like a failure and doesn't really know what other way to go. And he goes out in that first night and he completely bombs in fishing until Jesus performs this amazing miracle, filling their boat with fish. You know what? I wonder if Jesus performs this miracle in their life to take Peter and the rest of the disciples back to a place where they too have been before. A place and a time where the whole group of them could not imagine life without Jesus, walking with Jesus, doing life together with him. Let me ask you this morning, for those of you who have been trying to follow Jesus, maybe some of you have been following a shorter time, maybe some of you have been following a long time, maybe such a long time that you're kind of having really to work hard at some of those early memories of following Jesus. Do you remember that first time that you encountered Jesus? Like experienced him personally? Do you remember? For some of you, maybe it was at summer camp. Or at a youth retreat as a teenager. For others of you, it might have been at a kids' camp like Vacation Bible School, like the one that we're going to be having in July, where as a young child, you came to faith in Jesus and it all made sense as the stories and the songs and the crafts and the adult leaders came around you and helped you understand who Jesus is and what he had done for you. And you can actually put your finger on it, and that was a special, special time. For some of you, and I know this to be true, your first experience with Jesus was at an Alpha course where you came and your honest questions of faith were addressed by people who did not judge you, but who came alongside you and who walked with you to listen and to answer as best as they could. And somewhere along the way, things started to make sense and Jesus became very, very real. And for some of you, maybe it was through a course like Divorce Care or Grief Share or Boundaries or Celebrate Recovery, and your spiritual eyes were opened. And you said yes to following Jesus. You said, "Yes, I believe." You said, "Yes, I'm going to set my agenda aside and I'm going to follow Jesus as best as I can and I want to obey him the rest of my life." Do you know what? Those are very, very special memories. Our first encounters, our powerful encounters with Jesus. But let me ask you, do you also remember a time when you disobeyed or denied Jesus? You probably remember that as well. I've shared one of my own stories this morning. Did you ever feel like a failure because of it? That you couldn't get back on track with your relationship with the Lord that you once had and experienced? I remember sitting with my parents in my living room later that evening after having been caught shoplifting. And I thought that they were going to come down pretty hard on me. I had disobeyed. I had disappointed greatly, not only them, but God. And my parents didn't react as I thought they might. There were consequences for sure. There were things that I had to work through as a child and as a disciple of Jesus for sure. But I didn't receive what I thought I deserved and what I would get from my parents who truly loved me. I didn't receive physical punishment. I didn't get, and I told you so. What I did get was a fresh revelation of God's love for me. That was Peter's experience. Jesus could have said, "Dude, you really did it to me. That was pretty harsh. And as of today, I'm unfriending you. Not interested in the relationship anymore." Did Jesus do that? What Jesus did instead was he made breakfast for Peter and the rest of his disciples on the beach with this fresh roasted fish that had just been caught over a fire of slow burning coals and embers. Do you know the only other time that this word used of fire in coals is found in the New Testament is John chapter 18. Do you know what's happening in John chapter 18? Peter is standing around a fire, warming his hands as he denies knowing his best friend. And now Jesus is making Peter, the one who's gone back to fishing because he thinks he's not good enough to follow Jesus anymore, breakfast over the same kind of fire, a low burning bed of coals and embers that has that unique campfire aroma. The kind of fire we love to sit around eating sunflower seeds and roasting marshmallows. Some of you can taste that already. Do you know that our smell is one of the most powerful senses to evoke memories, whether good or bad? I think Jesus is taking Peter back to this fire for a purpose. Not for the purpose of rubbing his nose in it, saying, "Remember this? Remember what you did around the last fire?" No, no, no. Jesus is taking Peter back to imprint a brand new memory. A memory of God's powerful love in spite of Peter's mess up. The kind of love that always gives another chance. And to show Peter what he means, Jesus asks him a question. Jesus asks Peter if Peter loves him. And Peter's a little surprised and he says, "Yes, I love you." And it actually sounds good when we read it, except that they're saying two different things. Jesus wants to know if Peter loves him unconditionally. The word that we use when we say agape kind of love. And Peter responds by saying he loves Jesus like a brother. Phileo. Yep, I love you, Jesus, like a brother. And Jesus asks again, "No, I don't think you quite understand. Do you love me unconditionally?" And Peter says again, "Yep, I love you like a brother," the kind that we say to each other after we've turned 25 and we can actually say to our brother or sister that we love them. "Yes, that's how I love you, Jesus." And Jesus is still not satisfied and he asks a third time, "Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me more than the fishing business? Do you love me more than the control that you want to have over your life? Do you love me more than the whys and the hows and the curveballs and the past mistakes in your life? Because if you love me more, then your past failure doesn't change God's plan for your future. So Peter, keep doing what I asked you to do and care for others. I haven't given up on you. I still have a plan for your life. I still love you, and nothing, nothing will ever change that. Maybe you are here and you needed to hear this truth this morning. Because of some past mistakes or failures in your life, or maybe some experiences or feelings that you're experiencing right now, you're discouraged. There's a little despair. And you're wondering if you get another chance. You know what? Easter Sunday tells us that you get another chance. You can get a fresh start right now, today. Because Jesus is alive and he has victory over all things, including our worst mess-ups. You can be alive and start fresh right now. You don't have to have past mistakes and failures lock you down. Do you know, as you confess your mistakes and as you bring them to the cross of Christ who forgives you from sin, you are made new and you are given another chance. That's great news. Some of you have let past mistakes guide you so that you've reverted back to old patterns of living. The things that you once knew before coming to Jesus, rather than allowing Jesus to lead you forward through the mistake. Jesus desires today to imprint a brand new memory of his love and reminder of his plan for you right now. Will you take him up on his offer? And some of you perhaps haven't given much thought to God, either because you think if there is a God, why in the world would he be interested in you? Or because you think that your life could never measure up, maybe because of things that you have done in the past that you've known were wrong. Maybe you haven't called it sin, but you knew it was wrong. You knew that it was disobedience to the law, to someone else. Maybe you sinned against another and did someone else wrong. And you're wondering, I don't know if I could ever make that one right again. Remember Peter. His past failures didn't change God's love for him. It didn't change God's plan for his future. We serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the perfect example of God's love, and he offers another chance for you to say yes to him today. Everyone needs another chance. And thanks to Jesus, we have one. This morning, if God is speaking to you, if he is putting his finger on some part of your life in some way, I don't want you to leave here without being able to talk about that with Jesus for sure, and maybe with another if you wanted to. We have a ministry team that would love to talk with you, would love to pray with you as we conclude our worship service this morning. And we're going to sing in just a moment and sing of the good things that God is doing in our lives. But would you not leave here today knowing that in Christ, you can start fresh. You can start brand new. He gives you another chance. I'd like you to stand with me as we pray. And maybe this is the cry of your heart today. I just pray that you would allow God to speak to you and continue to speak to you today and in the days to come. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done on the cross. Thank you that it is done. The payment for our sin is done. Now we can walk fresh in you because you didn't stay on the cross, you didn't stay in the grave, but you have risen from the grave. Lord, today we say thanks again and again and again, and we ask that you would touch us and move us and meet us where we're at, reminding us and comforting us of this incredible lesson that you love us so much in spite of our past mistakes. thank you that in spite of those things, you still have a plan for our future. And I pray that each person would leave here today embracing that truth and living out through it. And so we worship you in spirit, we worship you in truth. We thank you that you're with us. Praise Jesus. Amen.